Hello, I am Luke Carthy, and this is SEO in 2024.
Luke, what is your number one SEO tip for 2024?
It's an interesting one. I've been racking my brain for this. I actually think, it'll be controversial, that we need to diversify. I actually think the potency of search is not what it was. And we need to be in a situation where actually we're more sufficient on other channels outside of the search engine in terms of paid and organic. So my thinking here is actually, I think this is really kind of like a reenactment, if you like, or a re-enlivenment of email. And I genuinely believe that email is one of the most fascinating and profitable channels that we have available to us. How SEO plays a role in this, to kind of bring it full circle. We have a lot of people, you know, whether you're SEOs or whether you're kind of work in-house, that spend a lot of time and effort creating content, blog posts, and of course, ranking for those keywords and driving traffic. But the disconnects that a lot of brands have is connecting that to commercial impact, right? So it's great having the traffic and giving people a great advice, but like, how do you turn the wheels and keep the lights on? And this is where I think email comes in. So to give you an example, let's say you're in the world of food. There's always going to be a handful of FAQs in the world of food. You might niche down and be in meat or vegetables or vegan or whatever it is. But think about the top burning questions that people have. Turn that into a resource that's valuable. Allow people to download it free. In addition to coming onto your blog through those juicy kind of blog posts that you're driving via organic traffic as well. So the idea is top of funnel, asking questions, research-based queries, lots of good content. You get them into your funnel. They sign up via email and you nurture those to customers. But I think we're just not doing enough on email to maximize revenue, especially with a lot of stuff that's going around the industry with AI. Let's be honest, it wasn't going to take us long to say it, was it? So AI is huge. And I think the way Google Bard has taken up all the real estate, it's only going to get worse. We have to diversify.
So do we need less SEOs or do SEOs need to learn new things?
I think it's the latter, to be honest with you, David. I don't think it's less SEO. I genuinely think it's just not necessarily putting as many eggs purely in the art of driving organic traffic. I think there's a lot more levers to pull to drive performance outside of just thinking about organic keywords. And that's the key concern at the minute.
And when you're talking about email, I would imagine that you're talking about email as part of the funnel and perhaps using some other channel to make them aware of the brand to begin with and then them opting in and keeping on going down that funnel and continuing the journey using email?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can think of one really good example of working with a brand probably about 6 months ago now in the world of leather and been in a situation where they couldn't grow organically. They wondered what was going on. They're kind of coming stagnant. And we did exactly what I've kind of just spoken about, which is drive a lot of content, things like leather care, how to choose good leather, leather repair, etc. And that drives a heck of a lot of good traffic, but it doesn't result in more sales. So we stitched that into their email. We had a welcome series, which was wonderful to talk you through the family, who owns the business, what they're about, their culture, their beliefs, their skills. And that really helps people as customers to buy from people and to build an idea of who this company is. But then, of course, you can then trickle this across into other parts of the business, such as social channels. So if you've got stuff happening on TikTok, you've got workshops, events happening, promotions that are exclusive to certain customers, all of these things go on TikTok, on Instagram and other kind of things. And email kind of just works harder at being able to drive and engage more customers. So organic kind of brings them in and it's still very much an important pillar. Lots of quote unquote free traffic. But at the other end, you have to kind of mop all of that up and turn that free traffic into conversions, loyal customers, retention, awareness. And of course, organic doesn't do that very well, especially with more and more pressure against paid, above the fold stuff that's going on, knowledge graphs, and everything else, you know?
It's funny that we're still talking about email because it's a medium that's 20 plus years old. And there has been conversation every few years about what will replace email. Will chatbots come along and replace email? I feel that I'm getting quite a bit of spam using email at the moment. Is outreach, is initial contact one of the ways that can be effective to use email? Or are you just a fan of using email from the user opt-in's perspective and then you continue the communication with them after that?
Yeah, so I am very much in the side of the buyer and the purchase funnel. So on the side of outreach, my information, if I'm honest, is hazy. But as a consumer or a potential consumer, it is wildly powerful. But then, of course, if we think broadly, rather than just email as an application and a platform, it's data, right? So when you think about your lookalike lists in social, paid socials, when you think about building audiences in TikTok, all of these things can happen because you have a list of genuinely engaged people that want to be involved or have purchased from you before. So we're in this situation where we can begin to diversify really where we spend our time, where we spend our money, and where we kind of reach our customers. And I think 2024 is just going to be a year of more organic erosion and more pressure on trying to make organic profitable, which is a real shame, you know, but we've kind of seen it before. I think Lily Ray is a great advocate of AI and kind of staying on the cutting edge of what Google are up to with their Bard search experience. And it's all just going in the same direction, which is less and less real estate with less and less eyes on the classic 10 blue links, right? So this, it's just going to be the year, I think, of less and less from organic and having to work harder elsewhere to bring the pounds and dollars and whatever currency, euros in, you know, to clients' tills.
Yeah, absolutely. SEO certainly need to understand other aspects of digital marketing. As you say, emails can be used not just for communicating with people directly, but building that matched audience on social media. And you touched upon TikTok as well. Do you think that social media optimization is a form of SEO? Do you think that attempting to build an audience on a social platform can be done using the skills that SEOs have?
I think that's a really interesting question. My answer to that would be yes. And the reason why I say yes quite easily is because if we think about this from a paying client perspective, someone who is investing cash into the service of SEO, all they genuinely care about is a couple of things. One is typically return on investment, and two is increased X, whether that's revenue or leads or a bit of both, or some of the kind of core KPI. Where those kind of things come from, besides their ethical and their legal and everything else, is fine. And if that kind of gets roped into the world of SEO, considering that there's been a bit of noise about TikTok becoming a competitor to Google in terms of search and how it behaves, and the younger generation kind of heading to TikTok for advice, tips, things to do, places to eat, all of those local searches are starting to really get traction across on TikTok. It's crazy to kind of leave it off the table. Now, of course, this is very early on, and I'm not going to sit here and say to you, I'm a TikTok expert. I spend a lot of time on it as a consumer, and I can see the benefits of it. But there's definitely people out there who are kind of trailblazers, the leaders in this space, and are kind of making a difference. But the younger audience are definitely using TikTok more and more as a search experience, as a research platform than Google. And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, we expect TikTok to be the number one search engine. That's not what I'm getting at, but it's definitely creating more noise and we should be paying attention to it.
And in terms of the spread of touch points that users now have access to, you mentioned AI. So what's your opinion on in terms of what SEOs should be using AI for? And where's the point where you have to cross and say, no, humans should still do this, but AIs should do these things?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think as an analogy, I like to think about self-service checkouts, right? We kind of love and loathe them in equal measure. One, because the queues are nice and short and there's 10 of them, you know, in the same space where you'd have maybe two or three tills. But there always has to be somebody there who kind of sorts it out when you scan the cabbage and it doesn't like it because it thinks it's the wrong way, right? So there's always somebody there who has to kind of sort it out. And I think the same thing and the same methodology can be applied to AI in that AI is an incredible thing. It's getting more and more advanced as we move forward with automation and everything else. It's hugely powerful. But there has to be an expert somewhere in that particular field to validate the information that's been spat out of it, to make sure it makes sense, particularly if you're in the space of, you know, where you've got personal safety at risk. So medicine, maybe even health and so on. You can't necessarily be relying heavily and entirely on AI. But I think really when it comes to efficiencies, when it becomes monotonous tasks, when it comes to data analysis, you know, for example, if you've got X thousands of keywords, you know, 10,000 of keywords from research or supplied to from the client, or maybe, for example, you've got a bunch of orders from a client, AI can be wonderful at helping you to understand, slice that data up to give you information and insights. And that is where I think it's wonderful, because it kind of takes a day's project of monotonous data, you know, running through and creating notes, to just having something that will do it for you in a handful of minutes. But I still believe, you know, SEOs, just like the SEO tools out there, we all have tools that do 95% of the work, crawl all the URLs for us, do all of these things. But there has to be the right person with the right tools at the other end to make sense of the data. And I think AI just needs to be applied in the same way. I think the problem is, and the downside is with AI, is that sometimes it's sold as a completely comprehensive, self kind of surviving solution without any intervention. And I think that's where it gets dangerous. Unless it's a very monotonous task, it's difficult. Yeah.
There's so much to know about digital marketing nowadays. It's difficult to know even a tiny bit about everything. I mean, are you advocating for the classic T-shaped marketer, where an SEO is still a specialist SEO? They're maybe specialist in a certain aspect of SEO, but they should know just a little bit about every other aspect of marketing.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I think that's certainly where I sit. I niche down, particularly, of course, in the world of e-commerce. So my perspective is, and my kind of thoughts are very much within that, in that avenue. And I understand outside of that, and maybe in a different sector altogether, that the opinions can be slightly different and different perspectives. But I think T-shaped marketers are wonderful people, having a core specialist area. And then yes, you know, enough about certain things to be better than absolutely. But just kind of bringing it back to my other point, if we think about all of the platforms across the tech stack, whether it's SaaS, you know, whether it's the big brands we know and love that exist on the web, at the heart of them, there is data, right? Data is where they make their money. And I think in the world of like cookie-less and moving more towards privacy and everything else, having that data is wildly more valuable than just traffic in its own right. But I think it's just a multitude mix, isn't it? It's traffic, it's data, it's social. And as always, as every good marketer will tell you, it's a bit of everything, right? Whether that's financial advice, whether that's living a healthy lifestyle, it's always the same advice. A good mix of everything is a heck of a lot more powerful than investing everything into one thing, and then that one thing is eroded over time, you know?
How do you know which platform is the right platform to be on for a particular part of the customer buying journey? I mean, for instance, do you look at TikTok and think that's discovery phase, and then get them onto your website and then opt them into your email list, and perhaps use SEO to build your brand and get them to rediscover you if they forget about you? Or is it not possible to be so definitive like that when it comes to customer journeys?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think SERPs really hold a lot of information and data here, right? Like if you're searching for something, say, skincare, because that's the world I'm living in literally as we speak, you can start to get an idea as to what people are looking for, right? Like if you get more social and TikTok videos and YouTube things above the fold, then that gives you a good indication, right? And that normally, you know, you kind of get your typical kind of makeup tutorials, your one-on-one basics, your more advanced stuff, your reviews and inputs and do's and don'ts and all these controversial kind of things at the side. All of this stuff kind of really screams discovery. And another tool that I'll give some props to as well is one called Spark Toro, which a bunch of SEOs have heard of, but it really kind of helps you to build and understand where your audience exists, what kind of things they might listen to for like different podcasts, what Twitter followers they have or X followers they have, what else is there? So there's podcasts, news outlets, a few other bits and pieces as well. Your YouTube videos they subscribe to, or YouTube channels. And that can then really help you to form and think about, these are the voices that matter. This is the discovery phase. This is how people narrow down. And yeah, that is normally my kind of methodology is quite literally Google it first, go on TikTok and search and see what's happening. And that will give you a good idea of where you can expect to find your audience and narrow down from there.
If an SEO is struggling for time, what should they stop doing right now so they can spend more time doing what you suggest in 2024?
That's really interesting. I'm a big advocate of R&D, and I think everyone should spend some time being in the uncomfortable. The problem is that's normally the first thing to go because, of course, it's uncomfortable. But I would say there is normally something that's carrying a bit of dead weight that we can spend a bit of time on. And I think personally, the one thing that should stop is kind of being in a world where we do the same and same again. So analytics is incredible, but you can spend time and time again till you're blue in the face. If you're not getting more insight, spend less time doing that and experiment with something else. Keyword research, vastly powerful, but you can spend days upon weeks upon months even, depending on how big the project is, going into the finite. Respectfully, keyword research is massively important, but think about when you're looking at a broader picture, think about, you know, throw things into TikTok and see what happens and see what kind of experiences you get out and where the engagements are. So put the typical tools down, experiment a little bit more, pay more attention to things that are happening outside of the subs and see where things are going. Also, maybe have a podcast in the background that is in your field. It's something I'm wildly obsessed with at the moment, is putting down my favorite Spotify playlists. Nothing wrong with that. And maybe just 1 or 2 days a week, I'm just putting podcasts on and learning a heck of a lot as I go along at the same time. So yeah, I hope that helps.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Podcasts, I think, for longer sales cycles, it's a wonderful opportunity just to remind the listener that your brand exists. So they're not ready to buy from you quite yet. You're not actively trying to sell to them, but you're demonstrating your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your ability as a brand just to relate to that individual. So hopefully when they're ready to do business with you, they'll come back to you. But and just one final question in relation to TikTok. You said throw something into TikTok. Do you mean search on TikTok or discover on TikTok? Or do you mean actually produce a video and publish it on TikTok to see what happens?
Yeah, so I'm very much of a case of search, right? Like if you're in a, you know, if you have a client that you're in an industry where you're not familiar at all, TikTok can be a great eye-opener to kind of give you an idea of what things are looking for. And I guess the more virality a particular video has, and as long as the comments are positive and constructive and it's not just a controversial clickbaity video, then that can really help you. So again, in the world of skincare, it's what I've done to kind of look into all sorts of things that are trends, things that people are avoiding, controversial products that have been banned, ingredients that people shouldn't mess with, all of these things. And that then kind of helps me and gives me inspiration when I think about, this is going to feed into the content strategy in a way that I would have never thought of before, because I'm normally in such a narrow, traditional way of thinking of keyword research. I can now broaden my horizon and look into specific ingredients like peptides or the negatives of peptides. Do I know enough about them to talk about them? No, but I only knew about peptides because I went into TikTok, searched for skincare, started reading and realized what they did and moved on from there. So yeah, I think it's just a wonderful place to kind of give you an idea. It kind of kills writer's block, gives you inspiration and kind of gets you to think outside the box a little bit. But you can get carried away and then spend half an hour scrolling through stuff and realize you've got nowhere. So it's a fine balance as is with all social media, right?
Luke Carthy is an e-commerce consultant and you can find him over at lukecarthy.com. Luke, thanks so much for being part of SEO in 2024.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, David. Appreciate it.
I've been your host, David Bain. Get your copy of SEO in 2024, the book, over at seoin2024.com.